Good morning. It's Sunday, February 28th, 2021. The Strong's Concordance defines hope as the expectation of future good. Every day, the life of every believing one should be filled with the expectation of future good. Not only does the hope apply to our ultimate eternity with God, but every next second, every new tomorrow should hold our expectation for future good. We are not to be hopeless. One of our little dogs is so cheerful in her expectation. From her first sight of us in the morning until we put her to bed at night, her tail is wagging enthusiastically and her neck is outstretched. She looks deep into our eyes and she is expecting a treat or a belly rub from one of us. If what she's thinking doesn't happen in this second, she's anticipating it in the next. In the 9 years of her life, she has not shown any doubts of future good. In our teachings so far this year, we have seen that is assuredly written and confirmed that God is good always, throughout every moment. Therefore, we can be confident in our expectation of his care. Yes, in this world is tribulation. Yes, the world is growing worse and worse. That is what is happening in the world around us. But that is not our expectation. Our lives should be better and better. All of tomorrow's should be better than today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 tells us so. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Even in these worldly moments of attacks and derision, for the believing ones, we should come out even better and moving forward on God's unfailing promises. The path of the just indicates our way of living and the passing of life. Shining light means brightness, clearness, the brightness and clearness in our thinking and living, illuminates the early hours of the day and establishes our going. We pray, we worship, we turn up the light as we meditate upon the word. We get the light of our day going. We are the ones who set the tone. Proverbs 4, verse 18, in the Young's literal translation reads, as the path of the righteous is as a shining light, going and brightening till the day is established. The perfect day certainly can be acknowledged as the return of the Lord, for surely that is the perfect day as well. But in the Hebrew, it's more akin to the day-to-day as we walk expecting good. Being in this world, we can see that is growing worse and worse. And here we are passing through this place that the devil has made evil. Psalm 91 offers us a glorious expectation of the coming day, even in this evil, even in this world around us. The coming day has not arrived yet. That's why we hope. That's why we anticipate. That's why we hold fast to the expectation for future good. Hope refers to those things we desire, but indicates we have not received them yet. Hope means we are expecting it to happen as God has guaranteed. I don't understand anymore why saying I hope is so negative. Now I think it means I didn't understand much about the hope before. Hope is not wishful thinking. God has set hope incrementally within each and every day. Without hope, how would we endure the realities and ugliness of this tortured world? Beginning in verse 2 of Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Why do I need to trust God in the first place? Because we are not all-knowing or all-powerful. He is. For our future moments, we can be hopeful because of him. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What a wonderful promise of hope. It is a daily hope. Pestilence is a plague, a pandemic, for example. Deliverance should be our expectation because we trust in Jehovah. It is our hope for life as he has described. The glorious old hymn, stand up for Jesus, rings with joyful expectation. It's Jesus because his accomplishments at Calvary, he made us the way to God and his promises. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls of danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. The day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To those who vanquish evil, a crown of life shall be. They will with the King of glory shall reign eternally. These lyrics remind me that we have victories every day, yet the day is coming when the victorious and complete vanquishing of our spiritual enemy is final. That's the big hope. Hope has always been. Even in the Old Testament, they believed in the promised Messiah. He was their hope. They hoped in Jehovah for everything. Can you imagine the full array of evil powers that gathered once our Lord was taken by the soldiers in those days following? Every disgusting evil spirit was getting in on the action against our Lord. Reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, we see how Christ gave us hope. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, or made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In Roman times, a triumphal procession was the highest honor that could be bestowed upon a major commander returning from a conquest. During Roman rule, the battle was hand-to-hand combat. Some battles lasted years. These processions were large, detailed displays of supreme victory. The parade began with the commander of the army. He was followed by the conquered soldiers struggling along with their ankles bound in chains, now slaves to the Romans. After that, the precious possessions that they seized were on display. And lastly, the pile of weapons that the captives had used to threaten the Romans. In conclusion, all of this would be presented as a gift to the Romans and laid at the feet of Caesar as all the Roman people watched. As the captives, their riches and their weapons were paraded by, trumpeters would announce something to this effect. Look, here, everyone! As scary as they were, Here they are now hobbled at the ankles, and here are all their riches. Here are their swords and spears that they were going to use to decimate your families, homes, farms, our fields. Look here at all this, all their armor, swords, shields, and the oil to burn all of Rome. It's all of no use now. It has become powerless. There is nothing more for you to fear. Christ's conquest was not against a fleshly beings, but against evil spirits, opposing itself against the things of God. On the cross, in the resurrection, in the ascension, Jesus conquered the power of Satan, figuratively. He chained him at his ankles. Our tabulations for sins was paid by Jesus. Jesus triumphed over the wicked forces and those threatening powers of evil over us. The victories in our lives continuously display the defeated power of Satan, much like those captured in the Roman wars. Through Christ, our spiritual enemies are powerless. In Christ, we have victory over them. Is that a hope or what? That is our expectation for future good. 1 John 4:16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." That steadfast confidence in God's love is what made the church of the first century so dynamic and powerful. They operated with a new dynamic. They lived like ones that are loved by God. Their doubts and fears perished in his love. Steadfast trust in God is what kept the Old Testament believers from peril. Lots of Christians say they know God loves them, but looking at their lives, you wonder if they believe a word of what they say. The explanation is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the words preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." This is saying they heard the preaching, just like everyone else, but the teaching did not prevail in their lives upon hearing. They knew it, but the teaching was never commingled with their hearts of action to profit, to prevail. The word needs to become the leading part of our hearts. 1 John 4:17 continues, "Herein, in knowing and believing, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." That is why we have an expectation of future good. Through his perfecting love, boldness is our expected outcome. Remember, boldness is that cheerful courage. Boldness is our expected outcome. Remember, boldness is that cheerful courage. In this world, with the tribulation and vexation of life, we face it with a cheerful courage. We are hopeful. We expect good at every turn. Don't expect it tomorrow. Expect it now. In the next section, mix, commingle all you know of God into your heart. Thinking back on Psalm 91, "We won't fear the weapons of terror by night. They have been stripped of power and openly paraded around being bound in the name of Christ. We no longer concern ourselves with the arrows by day. Those can be the fiery darts that can bring us dread. Don't entertain them. Send them packing." Early on, I was pretty well determined that I would not take the COVID-19 vaccine for several reasons. But as I thought about those we love in our community, it became clear that my neighbors were more important than doing what I wanted to do on my own or of my own. You don't have to get vaccinated out of fear of the virus. You can be vaccinated out of love for others. Whether I get the shot or not is of no consequence. It's esteeming others better than myself. Philippians speaks of this. In Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as if they were better than themselves. In sharing this, I'm not telling you what you should do. I'm not suggesting that if you don't get the shot, you are sinful. I'm sharing my thinking for my situation and in the context of this teaching subject and in the context of my neighbors and the people I love. The point is the enemy's evil desires are alive and well. But in Christ, he is hobbled at the ankles. He is defeated. We take this knowledge in. We meditate upon it. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The New English Translation wording is very tender. Jeremiah 15:16, New English Translation. As your words came to me, I drank them in, and they filled my heart with joy and happiness because I belong to you. As God's words came to him, he couldn't eat them fast enough. They satisfied his starving heart, figuratively. He ate. He drank them in. The joy and happiness nourished his heart. God's word put within him the expectation for future good. The words he ate, he digested. The nourishment in what he ate furnished his mind with all he needed to display on the outside that he was eating good. As you plan to partake and enjoy the communion, this provides a wonderful mental concept for you. It is my prayer that these considerations will encourage and help you in our day and time. Recently, Connie and I have been under attack in so many ways. It is our daily hope in God through Christ that keeps us calm at heart and expectant for future good. There's a song by Mercy Me that we enjoy. It's called We Win. Connie will attach the song to the email as it goes out, and you can always catch the lyrics on YouTube. Jesus Christ disarmed principalities and powers through his victory over them. He shamed them publicly. We take his place in this world. We are the lights walking through the darkness of this world. We are the display of God's love, his goodness, his faithfulness, and all the other attributes of God that we have worked so far. Don't delay. Our expectations for future good is now. Eat and digest his good into your heart. Mix it in with who you are. In summary, let's read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 from the Christian Standard Bible. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. This is the Lord's declaration. It is not something man promised. There is nothing unclear in this verse about God's will for your life and mine. Let's move ahead day by day, expecting future good in all things. Love you all. God bless you.